Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me today in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
If you missed it, you've got to hear the first hour. We're talking specifically about what's taking place in the Earth, what's happening between China, North Korea, and Russia. Stabbings, 14 stabbings in Houston at the Lone Star College. What's going on? What's happening? How to respond to this? And God is looking for a people. He's looking for a Gideon. He's looking for a Joshua. He's looking for a David. He's looking for somebody who'll stand up and believe him for a third great awakening. Listen, there is hope. Check it out in the first hour. In the extra hour today, we're going to be talking about Jay Sekulow's great resource available for every one of us, remembering the original intent of the Constitution. And you'll be able to find out more about that as well. Also, hopefully, the secret to prosperity and success, God's secret. And we're going to continue the conversation about be careful about how you're trying to explain something to someone who really don't care. It can change your destiny. It could change your future. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, in the Extra Hour, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Here we are in the Extra Hour today. We sure do miss John. You know, today is John's and Teresa's anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
They've been married 34 years today. 34 years. Isn't that great? Yeah. I didn't hear nothing.
Can't say squat.
I didn't say anything at all. No, actually, I married them. Years ago on the sands, the white sands of Pensacola Beach. And his wife, Teresa, looked like an angel. They were like barefoot. I don't know if he was barefoot or not, but she was, with a big white dress.
No, he wasn't barefooted.
He wasn't. No. And she was just so beautiful. And I thought, my goodness, he did good.
Yeah. He upgraded.
Yeah, he upgraded. We'll say happy anniversary to John and Teresa, sending out our love to you guys. And John, I hope you enjoy taking her to a very nice place tonight. Nice dinner, candlelight dinner, and, you know, treating her really sweet and as the gift that she is.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that's so cool. I mean, I hear no responses.
Isn't that amazing? So quiet.
We can say anything right now, you know.
I know.
I hear laughter all the way from the shores of Tripoli. Okay. We were talking about North Korea, and we ended the first hour talking about North Korea, China, and Russia, and how Michael Dudermeyer's grandson, who talked about America and the fires. If you have not yet read Dudermeyer's prophecy, Dudermeyer is America Burns or something like that.
Something like that.
Fire in America. And what God showed him, he showed him fires in Florida, fires in Tennessee, fires in New York, fires in California, and there's these fires. The whole mm-hmm. state's on fire. And he came to America thinking it's the land of God, you know, that everybody's right. Christian. They call America a Christian nation.
Right.
And I had a chance to meet him some years back before he passed. And he was shocked. He couldn't believe all the sin that was happening. Of course, he went to California.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He should have went to Texas. Anyway, the went to California, and he's thinking, what's going on? He's traveling around. He could not believe, because we're living such wealthy, luxurious lives compared to where he came from in Russia or the Ukraine or, you know.
I think it's Ukraine.
Ukraine. And this is a man who smuggled Bibles in.
A Romanian.
Romanian. Yeah, he's Romanian. That's actually where Michael is now. Michael's in Romania. The orphanage is there helping mm-hmm. out. But he snuggled in Bibles and got arrested for it. Angels would appear and give him directions about where to go. They took him and literally hooked him up to car batteries to torture him to the point that his teeth fell out. He came to America, and when God gave him a vision of America, he showed what was going on and the burning and all. And he's just crying out, "Why would you bring me here? Why would you bring me here?" And he says, "Demetria, you tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And so he went around and he told, and hopefully we'll have that up on the torch. I don't know the exact name of the book right now. You probably could pull it up on the torch and let me know, because we've talked about it before. But those prophecies come to pass. you know, that there's going to be a battle for America. It's either going to go God's way or it's going to go the world's way. And there's a battle going on right now. And it can go either way. You know, God rests the future of mankind with man. He lets us choose which way we want to go. And in that, we have to realize there's something that we need to do. And we need to position ourselves to be a part of being on the right side of history, that we're standing up, you know, for God and his ways. And the first thing we do with that is we have personal transformation. You don't want to jump ahead of the game without, you know, asking God to deal with you first. I mean, think about it. Moses said, okay, I'll go when he's on the backside of the desert. But understand what happened to Moses on his way there. The hands of God were choking him out because he didn't deal with the sin in his home. And so he went to deal, and God was saying, listen, they're supposed to be circumcised. You didn't circumcise your son. He didn't repeat the blessing to the next generation, to his sons. And his wife, Zipporah, stepped in and did that and relieved the stress of God, or the stress of Moses, by helping walk in obedience. And it's just so, understand that you want to be able to, the first thing you need to do with this is that we got to say, we can't blame everything on everybody. We got to say, we have to be able to say that, God, I've sinned, and mean it, not just some religious rhetorical, you know, pointing to heaven because you got a Grammy for a movie that you cursed God in. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about that.
Right.
I'm talking about that you own your own sin. You just say, God, I've sinned. Lord, I've fallen short. You know, I've rebelled against you. You know, I said I was, but I wasn't, and all these different things. And then you say, forgive me, and he forgives you. Now you're positioned as you begin to abide with him and get yourself strong in your faith and don't count on your previous words in God to say, and you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Get re-discipled. relearn again the ways of Jesus, because they call him the new way of life. The new way of life is what we're doing. And if we're blending in with everybody that's not even declaring that they love God or know God, understand that's not right, because we're supposed to be walking in a new way. And the new way is walking the way in the way that Jesus walked, talking in the way that Jesus taught. And that is part of the, is considered being a disciple of Jesus. He says, if you follow my teachings, then you're really my disciple. And you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be free. And freedom comes when we go become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And then at that point, when we're a disciple of Jesus Christ and we're hanging out with him, we're abiding with him. And if you don't know about abiding, go to iabide.org and find out today. And it's just a simple abiding plan we have there for you, so you can begin to abide with him. So you want to be his disciple and you want to abide with him. That's your personal transformation. And as you're learning to be confident in your walk in him and hearing his voice, you're ready to do whatever he asks you to do, because he's going to direct you all the way. But this particular book is called A Prophetic Warning to America by Demetria Dederman, that I talked about a little bit earlier. And that's going to be posted up on the VFN Torch so that you can hear it. But it seems like it's coming to pass right now. And his grandson is the one that had this vision where God let him know what was going to happen about the dollar. And overnight, and this is what I was talking about at the end of Extra Hour. Imagine overnight, and this is what he says in the book of Revelations, you can't even buy a bread for a bag of gold.
No.
And that means the economy switched. Mm-hmm. Something happened to the economy. There's a big shift in the economy. But you look also, he talks about that you cannot get involved in the economy unless you take the mark of the beast. Right?
Right.
Which is a 666, some form of, you know, three sixes, and which is the number of man. And but if you enter into this economy, then obviously you're going to get bread. Listen, learn how to fast now.
Yeah.
If you haven't learned to do without now, I mean, you can go 40 days without bread.
Yeah.
You can go 40 days without bread, believe it or not. And that gives you time to seek God and find out, you know, what is the response? What does God want you to do? If he wants you to eat barley, you know, eat something. You know, whatever you don't want to, I'm not saying how it's going to happen. I don't really know how it's going to happen, but I know we're looking right in our faces right now that this is what the devil would want. This is what evil people that are held captive by the adversary would want, is for it to shift now. I mean, they're tracking everything. Yeah. Everything's being tracked. We're being tracked as we're talking right now. Probably every word is being turned into text. So it's a searchable data. I mean, that's what's probably going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew when we stepped at this particular level that it could be a walk straight to the furnace. You know what I'm saying? Like that's Shadrach, right. Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. But we also know about the fourth man in the fire.
That's right.
But either way, our God can keep us and our God can deliver us. But even if he doesn't, he's still God. And let it be said of us that we stood for God. And that's what you want. You just want to stand for God.
That's right.
And if you're worried about people not that won't stand with you, just realize they probably won't. But it's all right.
That's right.
You know, God still loves them. You might not, but God still loves them. But I want to encourage you that as I was beginning to talked about in the first hour, you know, don't spend a lot of time trying to explain yourself. So many times in my past and a lot of people's present, they say spend a lot of time trying to explain themselves. And let me explain to you why this is going on. And I say don't spend too much time trying to explain yourself, since they twisted Jesus' words and purposes, right?
That's right.
One who was perfect, flawless, and sinless. Think about that. Since they twisted Jesus' words and purpose, who is perfect, flawless, and sinless, I wouldn't spend too much time trying to explain yourself to someone who is not planning on understanding you, or at least letting you know that they understand,
right?
And who will not be happy until you are minimalized or crucified, for it is better to appreciate their unhappiness and move on.
All right.
It's important.
Yeah.
Understand that if you make them happy, that means you're minimalized. What's that word?
Minimalized.
Yeah, that was good.
Is that good?
Yes. Or if that didn't work, then you're crucified. Right?
Yeah.
And since Jesus was perfect and flawless and sinless, and we're not perfect, flawless, and sinless, who are we trying to pridefully try to explain ourselves? Why don't we just obey God? Give people a chance to follow God. If they say no, honor their decision and move on and appreciate their unhappiness.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Because if they were happy, that means you were
minimalized.
Yeah, that's it. Or you were crucified.
Hmm.
So do you want them to be happy or are you going to be happy? You know, which one is going to be? They were happy when Jesus went to the cross. And today, the church, I was just speaking recently to someone who says they believe that the church has been minimalized today. And that it is in a way in the minds of men, but it hasn't. We just got to wake up. That's why it's called the third great awakening. We have to wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, awake. And understand when the church rises and awakes and gets steadfast in our focus and our obedience and loyalty to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Listen, all kinds of things will begin to move in our favor. I mean, you think about William Booth. William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, that he shook the world for God. Shook the world for God. And today, remnants of his ministry is all over the world. They had parades in his honor in Great Britain for a man who just wanted it to be literally uniforms that had, you know, captains and, you know, ranks and all this kind of stuff, mm-hmm. which would really freak out today's world. I mean, they would say, like, you're wearing your soldier?
All right.
No, you shouldn't wear a uniform. And, but they were just meeting the needs of people and preaching the gospel, and people would spit on their clothes, and they would always carry an extra uniform that they would switch out so they could preach without having a uniform on that where it's been spit or eggs thrown at them. And it's like, that's amazing. Today it's like, this must not be God. Why? I got egg in my face. Right?
Right.
Or they asked me to have a new team other than the Saints. I mean, it could be really dramatic. It could be really dramatic. We'll move on from there. I cannot believe, though, speaking of that, that you said that the flower, the bush, the
Florida
diagram.
The Florida Lee?
Say it like the, like
Florida Lee.
Lee.
French, I think.
L-E-A-H or something like that? Or L-E-A-H.
Don't ask me how to spell it now.
Well, it represents the Trinity.
Uh-huh.
You closed your eyes when you said, uh-huh. That's about an 80 percentile thing.
I'll have to get documentation.
Yeah, I just happened to go see them play, and I was like, okay, yeah. The Saints. And they even sing the song that the Salvation Army would sing back then, when the saints come marching in.
Mm-hmm.
They would march down the street. Oh, when the saints. But, I mean, these were actually saints, you know, Christians that were going down, marching right. down. I'm not saying there's not Christians on the team. Drew Brees, he's a believer, and y'all know more of the team than I do, but y'all know the history. Moving on, we're getting out of the contradiction there.
Right.
I don't know. I want you to know about there's a resource available from Jay Sekulow, and I first want you to hear a segment about understanding that freedom of religion in the workplace, and we're going to tell you more. We'll be right back.
Culture, issues, society. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I had a legal question for you. I'm a supervisor in a small office, and recently I had a new associate join my team who's very much into neo-paganism, and she displays books about witches and inverted pentagrams around her desk. I was wondering if she has just as much protection as I do, you know, if I have Christian material around my desk, is she legally protected to keep those on her desk, or can I ask her to remove those?
Nope, she has got the same rights of religious freedom and the free exercise of religion that you do, and that's the way that works. This should encourage the Christian employees to continue to maintain an appropriate witness there at work without being disruptive to the work environment. But that's the way to handle a situation like that, not to censor all religions, but to allow an equal, what we would call a basically an equal access policy.
The American Center for Law and Justice is committed to defending your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
That's so important. I just really appreciate Jay Sekulow, that I believe that he is a graduate from CBN's university there that Pat Robinson founded, and he taught there, I believe so.
Oh, cool.
And he's part of the whole band of lawyers who are standing up for constitutional rights. His cases are amazing, the ones he's defended, and for Christian rights. And as you heard in that one particular segment, and this, we're going back and talking about original intent, is that the question of the particular supervisor was, can this Satanist, mm-hmm, you know, put all their things out that represents their religion? And he said, yes. But the whole thing is, because we've been silent so long in the workplace, you know what I'm saying? That place, it would not even have a place there.
Right.
Because the church, we could be just as expressive. We could put crosses. We could put, you know, Jesus is Lord across our desk. We could, our screensaver could have the whole, you know, Resurrection Day cartoon or vision going on. We could be, all of our ringtones could be saying, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. You know, the boldness is time. We have to be that bold. And right, this particular original 10, as Jay Sekulow is giving advice here, talking about the constitutional right of Christians in the workplace, is that just as bold as this person was in his workplace for Satan, then we can be that bold for Jesus. And as Christians, we don't have anything to worry about, because understand that Satan's already been defeated, but we first have to speak up.
That's right.
We have to say something. And so you can find out more about Jay Sekulow, and you can search, if you have a question about Christians' rights in the workplace, freedom of religion in the workplace, at www.aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Success. I mean, you think about it. How many people are striving to be successful and prosperous, you know, ever how they define success and prosperity? And if you asked who wants to be successful, most people will raise their hands. You ask them how they define it, you will be really surprised how they define success. When we get back from this break, we're going to be able to talk about what God says about success. You're listening to VFN Radio. We'll be right back after these messages. You know, Jesus said in John 15, he says, talking of himself, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
He says, I am the vine, talking of himself.
Right.
You, us, believers, are the branches.
Mm-hmm.
And his father, our father, mm-hmm, is the gardener.
Right.
And the vine just kind of grows where it wants to go. You know, it grows towards the sun. Natural vines grow towards the S-U-N.
Mm-hmm.
And spiritual vine and branches grow to the S-O-N.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that is neat.
And so, you know, for God spoke to me about, as he called me out to be able to begin to do what we're doing today,
mm-hmm,
and it didn't just happen like this. And he said, very specifically, I'm going to teach you something for 3 years that I'm going to use for the next 30 years of my church.
Wow.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed that through Dutch Sheets. It was pretty cool how God had done that, because you think, you know, when God's calling you, this might be you right now. You might be thinking, okay, I got the call. I'm ready to go. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, many are called, but few are chosen. You have to understand that there's a process of learning and growing that you need to understand. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. You know, when he said, get thee up and go to Abram, that meant 25 years, right?
Right.
Well, you need to get rightly related. You need to get connected to what God is doing. And we tried. So once the 3 years was up, it was amazing. Just right in time, God just showed up in a powerful way. He just nailed it. It said, it's finished. It's time to do it. It was just really amazing. Mm-hmm. And we started the 30-year journey. Mm-hmm. And in that, we try, how can we explain this in a short period of time, you know, a condensed period of time to help people get perspective.
Right.
Of what Vine Fellowship Network's about, and it just integrates with the Word of God. It was just doing what God says, mm-hmm. you know. It's called Vine, which is Jesus is the Vine. Mm-hmm. Fellowship is what the church does, and network. We all stay together and stay rightly related, which is you know, Psalms 133, you know, right. and John 17:23. And so, what came of that was called, we call it the Vine Seminar, the mm-hmm. Vine Seminar, Vine Seminars, which is. There's several different seminars now that's evolved in, but knowing this, that the main seminar that started it was trying to explain mm-hmm. how do you move from a flower pot to a vine? How do you move out of the fences and the confinement of men's tradition rightly, not wrongly,
right.
and follow God in the Great Commission? And God walked us through a way to do that. Mm-hmm. And he confirmed it every step of the way. Well, we share that. We share that at the Vine Seminars. You can find out more at vineseminars.org. You can sign up for one in your city. Fill it out. Let them know that you are interested in it, and we'll make it available to you. It's vineseminars.org. Pat, mm-hmm. I had a chance to go to my doctor, mm-hmm. Yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to bring up the name or the practice, and when you go in there, they give you these forms now. They give you these forms on clipboards, and it's like, you know, there's a day I will never forget when we. By the way, there was a time when we didn't have self-service gas. You'd pull up to a gas station, and people would put gas in your car, and so they started having little stores open up with self-service.
They still do that in the north.
Yeah. Like, well, I know. There's a reason why.
Okay,
everybody's scared to get out of the car. They they crack the windows. They give me five. You just want a gallon, huh? Anyway, so you pulled up to a gas station way back when, and they'd put gas in your car, and they started to open up these self-service here and there, just very few. And people would go, that's never going to work. Mm. That's just never going to work. And of course, now you have women getting out in like ball gowns standing by her car, holding her nozzle. And that's not a strange sight that people have never seen, not having self-service. But there was a day that a lady was honored when she pulled up to the gas station because the men would come out and shine her windshield and check her oil and thank her for her business. And it was just real cool. Mm-hmm. It was real neat how that happened. Well, that's how the doctor's offices are now. I mean, I went to this doctor's office and they gave me the clerk's work. I mean, I had this like 3-page form back in front, all these questions, you know. What ratio of improvement have you had since the last time you visited based on the left quadrant part of your body? I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened? This feels like a final exam in the university or something. And wow. So I'm working my way through it. I'm fighting, you know, oppression. I'm getting it. Finally, I get this paperwork done. I'm thinking like, how much are they paying you, lady? I mean, you're not even doing this. You should ask these questions for us.
You get a tip.
You get a tip or whatever, you know, your ratio. You have to give ratios. How much have you proved? Percentage-wise, from the last time you're here, I don't know, 27% I'm better? I don't know. And so anyway, I think I finally passed that, and I leave this older man, and he's still like on page one of that stuff. I looked at him. I said, hold in there, man. You could do this thing. Because I know what was going through his thought was self-service gas would never work. Anyway, so here I am. They take me to this room. You're thinking, man, this is cool. I'm going to be taken care of. They called me out. I felt bad leaving the older man in this particular waiting room, but, you know, you have to do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. They take me to a little small room, maybe, I don't know, nothing by nothing, and they said, doctor will be right with you. And then they closed the door, and I thought, oh, my goodness.
And an hour later.
I'm telling you. It was like the walls were closing in. I remember in the sheriff's department, we used to take people and put them in isolation. And we put them all by themselves when they would do stuff wrong in the jail. So, and I'm like, this is isolation. There is no video. There's no outside thing. There's not a phone hanging. Luckily, I had my phone, and I told the doctor when he finally got in there about 3 days later, I said, listen, man, this is like isolation. If I didn't have my phone to be able to call my family and reconnect with them on the outside, I wouldn't know what was happening here. This is a long time. We need something to, in touch with the outside world by your patients. Of course, he looked at me and he said, so what percentage are you better now that you are? Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
Hello. We were just talking about, success and prosperity. Success and prosperity. And it's so many people are wanting to be successful and prosperous. And he tells us in his word, actually, think about this. If you have, pull your car over, don't do this while you're riding down the road. You know, or grab your pencil and paper and write this down, or a pen, or text it to yourself. I don't know how we do this today. And write down the secret to, I'm about to tell you the secret to success and prosperity. I want to give you a couple of moments here. I just want to give you a second. Just pause, because you've been trying to get the right education. So many people are graduating from college right now, 4 years of college, only to find out that the end of it was not prosperity and success.
All right.
And they're taking more classes to be able to thinking that'll make them successful.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many people starting businesses and different things, trying to be successful and just doing all kinds of things, trying to be prosperous. The creator of the universe told us the secret to be successful and prosperous. Understand this, since he created the world and he created us, he knows better how to define success. And prosperity. Quite often, how we define prosperity and success is when our flesh is happy. We have enough whatever to give our flesh everything it wants, whenever it wants it, ever how it wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And success is recognition, you know, that everybody sees your trophy or something and sees your ring, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, literally.
Literally. And so, what is the secret? Here it is. I want to tell you now. I want to tell you. I wanted you to be ready. I wanted you to write this down. This is so important. This is the secret to success. The secret to success. Tomorrow, we'll pick up on tomorrow's program. Tell you. No, okay, here it is. Here it is.
Come on.
Here
man.
It is. Okay, here it is. Get your pen ready. Get your pen ready. I see you now, Eddie. Leaning forward and write a thing. This is it. This is the key. This is the key, man. Listen, 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 listen. The secret is found in the Bible, in the book of Joshua, chapter 1. And I'm going to read it to you. Here it is. You ready? This is it. That's how long the secret to success has been around. This is God speaking to Joshua. And he's already told him, he said, listen, Moses is dead. It's time for you to go in. Then he tells him this. He says, listen, in verse 6, he says, be strong and courageous. This is, I'm telling you the secret to success here. This is the secret to success. Be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and not a wimp. I'm sorry, that was G-I-V. Be strong. And very courageous. Not be a whiner. Not be a complainer. God sent them away. You remember? Didn't he send the whiners and complainers? And he sent them away. Because he's looking for agreement. Because he's going to do it. We're not going to do it. Mm-hmm. So he's looking for people who agree with him. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful. Be careful to obey all the law, which for us would be the word of God. My servant Moses gave you. For us would be Jesus gave us the word. He says, do not turn from it to the right or to the left. How many people today have turned a little bit to the right of what God says and a little bit to the left of what God says? I mean, some people are far right and some people are far left, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God's right down the center. And we stay right on what he says. And he says that you may be successful wherever you go. So many people are trying to go to the one place. If I could just find that one place, I'll be successful. You don't understand it. It's what you're doing in your life, no matter where you're at. you're going to be successful. That's what he's saying. And I'll talk about it a little bit more, but I'm just going to read it so you understand. He says, do not let the book, which is the word of God, depart from your mouth. Do not let it depart from your mouth. What's coming out your mouth? What's coming out your mouth?
Right.
Please. Zip it. Right? As Michael said, I'm hearing this, yeah. but I want to hear this.
Right, right.
I'm hearing this. I want to hear this. Well, I just want to, I don't want to, it's not God. Why? Anyway, do not let this book depart, or the word of God depart from your mouth. Meditate on it both day and night, not just on Sunday between 10 and 10:15. Mm-hmm. So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. You see, you don't let it depart from your mouth. And by meditating on what God says, then you're constantly thinking about it. And therefore, you're going to be, it's going to be easier for you to obey, because success comes through obedience. He says, then you will be prosperous and successful. You'll be prosperous and successful. And you think about it. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. What does that mean? You don't even have to change your location. Just change your attitude. You want to be successful. When you think about it, he says, we've got to be strong. What's he talking about? He's talking about being strong in our faith. Mm-hmm. What is faith? Hebrews 11:1 tells us, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. Surety and certainty. You know, this wishy-washiness and whatever, you know, he's just like, come on, what are you confident in? I'm confident that I'll be unconfident the rest of my life.
Right.
Right? Yeah. You can count on me to sow doubt anywhere you need it. You know, those folks, you know, I just want to run this by you so you could kill it. You know, can I tell you about this? Like, okay, stab it now. Just kill it. Just go ahead and kill it, right? Mm-hmm. Strong in our confidence and our surety. I mean, think about it. Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You have on your mind the things of man, not the things of God. The very words that came out of the mouth of Peter, he said, you almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. Listen, you just can't be casting your pearls before swines, and you'll be surprised. You'll be so surprised who's the oinker and who's not the oinker. I mean, it'll blow you away. Who's the pig? Who's the swine? He's like, are you stomping my pearls in the ground here? I thought you were my friend. I thought you were my spouse. I thought you were my child. I thought you were my dad. I thought you were my friend. I thought you were a believer. You know, right. I thought you read the word. You know, that kind of thing, right?
Right.
I think my pearls just got crushed. And he says, be courageous, be strong and courageous. So we're strong in our faith. That's not like being like Pat and benching all this weight and losing all this weight. And he scratches like this now. If you didn't see that, it's like he just, anyway. So here we go. Well, he's actually, you know, showing his bicep when he's scratching. Kissing anybody's imagination. Anyway, listen. So we have to be strong and courageous. Courageous in our actions. You have people that'll talk all day long, but they will not take any action whatsoever. And it's like, man, all you are is a rhetorical comment. You're not. Mm-hmm. That's not faith. You got faith in what you're... Now you don't have faith at all. That's not faith. And you think about it. We're told plainly in James, he talks about it. In James chapter 2, verse 1, he says, no, listen. He said, what good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no action, no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. You know, and there's been a lot of pep rally faith talks. You know what I'm saying? It's like, yeah, whoa. And it's like, but ain't nobody going nowhere for nothing. I mean, what are we doing here? Aren't we supposed to go out in all the world and preach the gospel? Right. Aren't we supposed to be like William Booth commanded, go out there and preach the gospel, go take the land, you know? It's like, no, we just like having pep rallies. And he goes on to say, he says, but someone who says, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God. Good, he says. Even the demons believe that, and they shudder. So they actually have one up on that person, right? Because they actually shudder.
Right.
He said, you foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? And that's what, without being courageous, courage comes in when you actually do it. Okay, you've talked about it, but now you got to do it. And that's courage. Mm-hmm. Now, people, that just sounds good. You go for it. I'll send you some money. I'll sponsor you on a monthly basis. You just go. Right. You know, I'm just so excited for you, you know,
right?
They love that. He says, listen, was not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together. You have to be strong in your faith, but you have to be courageous in your actions. They go together. Faith without action is dead. Listen, I'm telling you how to be successful. It's not successful because all you do is talk. You just talk, yada, 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 yada. But all of a sudden, you need to begin to act. You got to do something. And if you don't believe, don't do it. But if you believe what you're saying, then why aren't you doing it? So faith and action go together is what he's saying right here. And his faith, this is Abraham's faith, was made complete by what he did. You want to have complete faith? You have to be strong and courageous. Joshua went into the land. He didn't stay in the desert. He was the one that looked at Moses and said, listen, we can, when everybody but him and Caleb, everybody in the million people, we're going to die. It'll never work. And it'll cost us money. And it'll hurt. And giants and all these different things, despite what God said. Mm. And Joshua and Caleb said, we can do this thing. With God, God's with us. We can do it.
Right.
We can do it. So guess what? Moses, Joshua, and Caleb lived beyond all them folks. We had to wait. They had to wait for these people's seed to come to a reality so they would be gone, but their seed would go in. Mm-hmm. The hope for the promised land was inside of them.
That's right.
You think about it. And so God heard that and rewarded Joshua and Caleb, and they went into the land, the promised land. But he had both. He was strong in his faith. He said, listen, God is with us. We can do this thing. Which got Moses off his face, right? Because Moses is like, great, I didn't want to be here in the first place. And I was fine on the backside of the desert. You know, I don't know what he said.
Right.
But I can imagine. I mean, he talked to God face to face, you know.
Yeah.
He goes, you know, these people. And God would go, I know. I don't know what I just, I'll start over again. I don't know. They're just, this is kind of, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if he sounded like that. But understand that. It's strong in your faith and courageous in your actions. Do something with what you believe. You know, if you say you believe that if you give God his whole tithes and offerings that he'll pour you out a blessing, hey, give him his tithes and his offerings. Be faithful to him. And then he says, listen, we need to meditate on his word. Meditate. Day and night, never letting it depart from our mouth, meditating on his word. That's abiding, as we talk about all the time. That's abiding with God.
Right.
You can go to iabide.org and you can find out how to meditate on God's word, how to have a conversation with God. Hmm. Stay in God's word, hiding God's word in your heart, speaking to God about your condition and needs and making your requests known to him and listening to what he says to you or what he impresses on you and do it. That's meditating day and night. You're just constantly in. Somebody said, how could you pray 24 hours a day? Because it's not a religious prayer. It's a conversation. It's a conversation. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship. This is the secret to success. Be strong and courageous. Strong in your faith, courageous in your actions. Meditate, abide with God, abide with him. And then he says, don't be terrified. The antithesis of terrified is joyful and happiness. Think about it. You do all this with just, I'm just so happy. Like, your face gets happy. Oh, there it goes. You're just happy. Happy, 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 happy. Think about it. I mean, how many long faces? Some people's faces are so long. Some Christians' faces are so long that they can eat oats from a tailpipe of a car. It's just like, Jim, you put a mirror in front of their face. It's like, it smiles. You pull it back. It's like, that's so not fair. You only smile at yourself. That is so not fair. Is it not fair? It's not fair, is it?
No.
Sign to me. It's not fair, is it? No, yeah, that got you signing. And so we're supposed to, you think about when you're seeing all these troubles and you're seeing giants and you're seeing rebellious people, you know, all the things that Joshua and Caleb were seeing, it's like, is it okay for me to be happy? Is it illegal? Is it sinful for me to go, did I ever tell you about the, you know, I'm going to have a good time?
Mm-hmm.
It's the opposite of being terrified. So when the enemy comes in and threatens you, it's time to just celebrate. You're like, hey, you know, let's have a good time here. I can't remember the evangelist, and if somebody could tell me, I would know. But the one who was laying in bed, and all of a sudden, the devil literally appeared at his bedside, at the foot of his bed. He wakes up. I think it was Tozer, or they'll tell me in a minute. But he got up, and he saw this demon standing at his bedside.
Oh, wow.
And he goes, ah, it's only you, Satan. He goes back to bed. That's it. That's so powerful. That is so powerful. People say, you know, I remember Brother John Kilpatrick right in the middle of revival, the Brownsville revival. And it's hard to explain, powerful move of God. God's moving continually, laying hands on people nonstop and praying for them, and God's touching them. And we were together as he was praying for some folks. And of course, people are coming, bringing you bad news all the time. And they just told him that one of his grandsons had swallowed poison.
Mm.
Did he panic? No. Just calm. Just calm and continue to move and pray. And God moved and all that. And guess what? His son, his grandson's serving God, just an awesome young man. And everybody that knew him would be very proud of him today.
Yeah.
But he kept, you know, that's what the enemy wanted to do, is to stop him dead track in the middle of a move of God, to have him start being fearful. And he didn't even go there.
Right.
He didn't even go there. And that's what the enemy's going to try to do to you. When you start stepping out and you're courageous, and he's going to try to terrify you and bring fears on you that causes you to turn your direction and stop what God's called you to do. And you got to be willing to let everything go to have God, and understand that just happens. And so the opposite of being terrified is to be joyful and happy. I got a question for you. Are you terrified or are you happy? And people that are terrified get angry with you when you're not terrified with them. Don't you understand? Be terrified. Like, why? Yeah, you know, I'm so far over my head in God right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That's the problem, is you're swimming in the shallow. If you get out in the deep, it don't really matter at that point. You
That's
know,
right.
I don't know if we're 25 feet or we're 100 feet deep out here in this water, but you know what? My feet ain't touching, so I don't care. It's like, it's amazing, right?
Yeah.
And so, but people get upset with you when you're not terrified. Worry with me. Why? You worry enough.
Care is not that we perish.
Yeah, you're right. And then what was Jesus doing?
He was sleeping
in the boat.
He sure was.
He said, you of little faith. It's time for us to have, but come on, this is what's going to happen. You want a third grade awakening. I don't know if you ever rode a horse. Remember, we rode horses together.
Sure did.
We got thank God we can do it in cars. I can imagine.
We wouldn't make it.
Oh my goodness. Let's not go there. We are distracted from the pain of riding horses up mountains. Anyway. But being happy. And he tells us in Romans 14, 17 through 19 that the joy, that the kingdom of God is not a matter of mere words, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Think about it. Righteousness, right standing with God, right? Romans chapter 5, where he tells us, 5 verses 15 through 17, the gift of righteousness that we receive from him. So we go, okay, I'm righteous because I receive it through faith by God, what Jesus did on the cross. And I can be joyful because of this great thing that Jesus did. And I don't have to worry, because even if you take my life in this life, you cannot take my soul, which will be in my spirit, that will be with God forever, instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Promote me, brother. You know what I'm saying? Promote me. I'm here only for Jesus. You know, this is my momentary suffering, and what I'm going through, it's just for Jesus. And it's really, my heart breaks for you if you're living for this life, especially what's coming in the near season. because it's gonna, your life's not gonna be pleasing if you're living for your flesh.
That's right.
But if you're thinking, man, I just count it all pure joy that I was able to suffer for the cause of Christ. Think about that. You know, they were put in prison, and then Paul's going, you know, I was just so, oh, we're just, I couldn't, they beat us because of Jesus. I'm like, oh dear God. That's so cool for Paul. You know, it's like, Pat would be like, they made me drink water, warm water for Jesus, unflavored, not fruity water. Man, that water is powerful. You drink that water, you're expecting something unfruity. So the kingdom of God is not about mere words, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. So the opposite of terror is joy and happiness. Be happy. And there's a song that was, a song that says, be happy, don't worry.
Don't worry, be happy.
That's what we used to play at those three committees. Don't worry, be happy. Don't think it's all falling apart. Just be happy. We play that song over and over again. And it happened just like God said it would happen.
Yeah.
And that we have the peace that passes all understanding because Jesus is our peace. So we can keep peace in the midst of no matter what it is, what's going on. We can keep the peace. Somebody says, there are giants in the land. Well, if the giant takes you out and you're a believer, you're going to be instantly with God. And what an awesome thing that you stood up for the people of God, for God, and you became a martyr for God. And now we're not promoting martyrism here. You can, it just happens. There's martyrs around the world right now. Mm-hmm. That all of a sudden, you're just, I can imagine, there's a throne waiting for you in heaven right now just for the martyrs. I remember that another vision that Rick Joyner had gotten from the Lord was there's certain thrones in heaven that are sitting there just for martyrs.
Oh, wow.
They're going to be sitting on in this particular room full of these different thrones. And they're empty, by the way. These particular ones were empty. Oh, gee. Well. And so, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah 8:10. Listen, if we're going to be strong in our faith, we have to be joyful. We're going to have to be joyful. We have to enjoy this thing, which means sometimes get your rest. You know, pause for a moment. If you can actually, you can wear yourself out to the point that it's not that you wouldn't be joyful. You're just too tired to be anything. And it's not going to be good. And you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow. And it's like, that means I'll be fruitful tomorrow.
That's right. Right?
Sometimes you get just at the end of yourself. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes others at the end of themselves. There them two shall meet. So you don't let the word of God, he tells us, depart from our mouth. I'm talking about the key to prosperity and success. And I don't have a lot of time to tell you this. And you'll be able to catch this full talk of what a conversation that I'm having on VFN TV soon. But, you know, don't let the word of God depart from your mouth. That's part of being successful. You're going to have to speak and know the word of God, which if you're abiding with God, it just happens naturally. We see people that are, we come together in gatherings that people that are abiding with God, and it's just constant word flying out of everybody's mouth, coming from their heart. And it's not, I mean, it just doesn't stop. It doesn't matter. The whole time we're together or talking, messaging, whatever it is, it's just about what God's saying, mm-hmm. which is the key to success, by the way, in prosperity. It's not enough to meditate on his word and to be strong in your faith and courageous in your actions with a joyful heart. You have to continually be speaking his word. That's what that means in your mouth. I mean, we're told over and over again, like in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, he says, if you speak and don't doubt and believe in your heart, then it will come to pass. If you say, well, the reason why things might not be happening in your life is because you're meditating on God's word, but it's never coming out your mouth. And if you're not speaking, the devil is. We speak things into existence. God said, let there be, and then it became. God said, let there be, and it became. You said nothing, and nothing has become. Or maybe you said the opposite of what you wanted. You know, she'll never amount to anything. He'll never amount to anything. This will never work. I never win anything. I'll never get a raise. And look at that. Bam. It's happening. That's it's right. Amazing how faith works, isn't it?
Yeah.
You so believe that you would never be successful, it has come to pass. You've never been successful. Congratulations. You are a man and woman of faith. You should have believed for something else. So we have to say it, which means speak it. Don't doubt, which is faith in our heart. Having a clear vision is so important in your heart. You have to actually know what you're believing in. You can't lock into anything if you don't have a clear vision. You got to see it in your heart. We cannot have confidence, and that's what faith is, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see, in your heart. If your heart can't see or visualize what you're having faith for, in other words, if your heart doubts, you'll never see it. But an example of seeing it is if you believe, if you're believing for God to be healed, see yourself healed. Just see yourself healed. If you're believing God for you to be able to walk, see yourself walking. If you're believing God to be debt free, see yourself debt free. Think about it. Just what is it like to be debt free? Begin to visualize what it's like to be debt free. If you are believing you are to be part of serving, for example, at the VFN Dream Center, think about it. At Divine Fellowship Network Dream Center, see yourself serving there. See it happening, taking place. If you are believing for a good paying job, you have to see yourself applying for it. You have to see yourself interviewing for it. And you have to see yourself working there in your heart. Then you begin to speak it out. Many people want me. I have a lot of great skills that God has taught me. And I'm a learner. I'm a teacher. You know, I can learn and I can teach. God promotes. I'm telling you, we see this every day, don't we? See this on a daily basis. We're just talking to somebody just recently. Just got one yesterday. But by not letting God's word depart from our mouth, you are continually speaking faith over all things and sharing from your abiding experiences with him. This is the key to success. This is the key to prosperity. And you understand, you know, what is the definition of prosper? Be prosperous means having or characterized by financial success or good fortune or flourishing. And that's where God would define success, flourishing. No matter, I learn to abase and I learn to abound. No matter what, I have plenty or I have lack, I'm always flourishing in God. Mm-hmm. It's not the measure of things, but it's the measure of how you flourish in the things that you have, if that makes sense. And success is defined as the favorable or prosperous termination of an attempt or endeavor. In other words, it's already been accomplished. That's success. So if you're believing for that good paying job and it happened, then that is success in that particular incident. If you're going to win the Super Bowl, you know, in the NFL, and success would be winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I believe the Saints did once. So understanding that he tells us, and go back and reading in Joshua, the secret to success and prosperity, you got to catch the full part of this on VFN TV. It'll be coming soon. You go to VFNTV.com, and you'll have it there for you, also on your app. But this is the key to success and prosperity. It's found in Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. He says, "Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws the servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it from the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to obey, to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." Find out more about prosperity and success at VFNTV.com. We're going to continue this conversation after this break. You're listening to VFN Radio. Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man. You know, I'm the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed, you know. I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval, and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down, I just share my
my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education. You know, you think I could have got one there with 1200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today. That's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. They had a deep education, and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know. And by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized. But they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen. And they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton. If you missed The Secret to Success and Prosperity, we just talked about it. You can find it at the VFN TV Torch, our VFN Torch, at vfntv.com, and click on the Torch, or look on your app. Listen, it's time for you to be successful. It's time for you to be prosperous. I just revealed the secret to success and prosperity from the creator of the universe. Listen to it. It's time. It is time. Pat,
yes.
Who said these words?
Oh, great.
We're going to waste a whole minute with him being terrified. What happened to me? You have to be terrified.
He's like, I'm good. Okay,
he's back. He's back. He's back. Be strong and courageous.
Right, right.
Who said hut? One, hut two, hut three. Okay, here it is. Who said these words? The only thing you have to fear is fear itself.
That was John Kennedy.
You're not appreciating the look on Bat's face right now.
What are you doing? Yeah,
I'm sure he said it. I'm sure he said it too.
He quoted it.
Well, he's actually quoting Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin D. Roosevelt, FDR.
Well, technically, I was right. He did say it.
Well, you said it too just then. I mean, that would be technical as well.
So who said it? Who said it?
FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, the one that was doing the same thing that's happening right now. But you think about it, he was speaking. This is so important because, you know, he's speaking to a nation. Our economy is built on confidence. So people have to be confident to save money, spend money. If they're not, they withhold their money. Therefore, the currency's not moving. Then the economy goes down. And so that's what he's talking about. With us, though, as Christians, fear is the opposite of faith. So truly, the only thing that we as Christians have to fear is fear itself. Right. We're not afraid of it. We just say, I want to stay away from it. If I see myself being anxious or fearful or worried or... one of the definitions of fear would be dread. If you see yourself dreading something, that's the definition of fear. Understand that, listen, have no part of that. Just move into the area of peace, joy, and righteousness in Christ Jesus. You have nothing to fear at all in God. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.